The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 531. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
It belongs in a museum.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. I guess for the foreseeable future, Adam won't be joining us on Sundays because he's doing his TV terminal show. He's doing his Walking Dead thing. I know it's The Last of Us, but it's the same fucking thing. It's The Walking Dead. You know? I also want to give a shout-out to Brett, who briefly joined us. So just to check in, tell us how he's doing. He's going through it right now, guys. He had to have another operation, you know? But
yeah, hopefully that last one.
Because, yeah. Man. It sucks, but, you know. Brett's a fighter. He's hanging in there, man. So he wanted to give you guys his love, you know? And yeah. With that, let's talk about a game that Brett does love, Oblivion. We got a bunch of questions about it. So here we go. First one here from Black Mage. I've seen a lot of debates about this. Would you classify Oblivion 4 Remastered as an actual remaster or a remake? Remember to show your work. Basically, explain yourselves. Go ahead, Manny.
It's a one that's sort of into that weird sort of location, like the Demon Souls re-release or the Shadow of the Colossus, where they're literally the original game running on, and they're using whatever engine as the renderer. So it's the original game running under, driving everything on you know, of the game, and then on top of it you have your Unreal Bluebird engine or whatever running on top of it, essentially as your renderer. This is, by the way, this is actually fairly common for a lot of video game developing games in general, where their internal engine is, you know, something engine, right? Whatever they built their all of their work under, and then they use an off the market you know, like engine like Unreal or Unity or any of the other ones to drive whatever you. So that's the sort of weird situation that we're in right now, where you're literally replacing all the assets inside of your game, and then with the exception of the just like improving some bits. And so is that a remaster? Because I always felt like a remaster was you just take your original game, you know, you get it to work on a new console, and then you do maybe some like texture cleanup. But it's not anything better. You know what I mean? It's not like it's still the original game as it was. It's just running at a higher resolution, better, you know, better like that. But oh, that's all
well,
your remastering.
I think that's a port. That's not.
Well, I mean, so he has like. So, like, okay.
Yeah,
so
I agree
like,
with Chris.
Like, they, so, like, okay. Okay. Take a game like Final Fantasy X. That is yet still a lot of the redone. Like the characters, the environments, like the HD collection, the original collection of Metal Gear Solid, that was all remastered. And there was really nothing, again, you know, running at a better resolution. What is our line? Like, because if you're replacing your assets, that's not really any remaster.
HD remaster yeah. is... This is the way I always understood it. Chris, I'm going to say this and you jump in. By the way, real quick, shout out to Chris G, a.k.a. the voice of God, joining us in the chat. He says he's playing Oblivion right now. Chris, we're going to join Monster Hunter next weekend, man. Ray Dow. Anyway, so this is the way traditionally it used to be understood. Because Manny's right. Things are a little blurry now. But traditionally it was like, if you bring an old game to a new console and you remake the textures to, you know, to HD them up, that's a remaster. Remake is when you build the damn thing from the ground up. Remake, right? Basically, traditional remaster would be, like Manny said, the Metal Gear collection. Remake would be Final Fantasy remake, complete fucking remake, you know? But then you get those weird bits like The Last of Us Part 1 remake, where technically They did build it from the ground up for PS5, but they're all reusing the old shit, you know? So it's like, get that weird like blurry,
The underpinning of that game, like the way it comes, the way everything works, is all the same. The only thing that's changed, the assets, Joel, Ellie, all the environments have more, you know, geometry, all those things. And then maybe a slight little adjustment AI. But other than that, it's the original game run again, like Shadow of the Colossus, like, you know, what was
Demon's Souls.
Demon's Souls, where they said, this is the original game underneath everything. It's just everything on top was...
Yeah. Voice of God says, shit is a remaster, man, not a remake. But Mr. Seeley, now we have, since there's two Chris's here, now you're Seeley for now. so like we do in Monster Hunter. So yeah, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I think that Oblivion definitely counts as a remaster. If you're, even if you're layering Unreal 5 over the original Oblivion engine to run it, you're not, this doesn't count as a remake because they didn't, they would have rebuilt the game in Unreal 5. Right? You'd have recompiled everything through that engine, redone all your assets and stuff. So like Resident Evil 4, Dead Space, those were reeks, right? Those were full from the ground up. They rebuilt the game. They even rewrote some of it. They added new story elements. So it's a But if you are just taking the game and putting it on another system and maybe it runs slightly better, that's a port, right? That does. Yeah. There's no changes really. All you have to do is recompile it with the same engine on a new system and then get it running. That's a port. So in between there's a remaster, and I think this falls in there because if you're changing assets, if you're adjusting the engine, or if you have an upscaling thing like the Unreal bridging the Oblivion engine to the renderer, then you have a remaster. It doesn't matter if it's that the, you know, the programmers and the designers take the effort to every single asset over again, or the engine is doing it and you have AI and whatever, DLSS or whatever they're leveraging to do it, it still counts. So I think this is definitely...
Yeah, shout out to Jay Shep. He says, they said they changed pretty much everything but the quote-unquote core of the game, but I would say remaster. I mean, the game's literally called Remaster as well, but we can't just take that because... The Last of Us, they call it a remake. That shit ain't a remake. I'm sorry.
We entertained the conversation during the Shadow of the Colossus, you know, conversation, Demon's Souls conversation, and they were good conversations. But I feel like at this point, we should just draw, a line in the sand with this thing. Let's just, for me, and this is probably just for me, I don't know if anyone else would agree. Let's just call everything that's not made from the ground up brand new a remaster, because this is getting ridiculous.
Okay.
Because it's like so, really, it
so if it's
really
something, if it's like Resident Evil remake or Final Fantasy remake, call those remakes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, those are remakes because there's all new elements. It's not the same. They are not the same.
Right.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that distinction.
But so that would make Metal Gear Delta a remaster and not a remake.
Yeah. Yep. If it's running the core original game underneath, that's a remaster. I think let's go with that because you're right, Carlos. This is getting stupid now, you know?
Yeah, because this conversation is not going to end. And honestly, and I know Tony likes to go back into this. The Last of Us messed this everything up because they named it a remake when that's the most egregious version of calling it a remake.
Yeah, that was not a fucking remake, you know? But they know that shit'll sell. You know, or it's a remake, you know. At least the Oblivion guys weren't being facetious. They're like, no, it's a remaster, guys. I agree with that. If it's running the original game underneath, it's a fucking remaster. End of story.
Yeah.
I think, can we all agree on that in the panel?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. And dudes in the chat are agreeing too. All right. That's it. Going once, going twice, sold.
It's science now.
It's science. There you go. Throw down science. Brian, you got any thoughts?
Nope. This is one of those few things that I could not care less about.
There you go.
Between all the remasters. I don't care. Sorry.
Yeah. Rich, are you happy with that decision, by the way? We're going to just call these remasters from now on. No bullshit.
I'm very happy with that decision. So yeah, and I will do have a response to that next question that will be asked.
Okay, fair enough. So,
here's a Ratchet was based on.
That's a remake
in a way because it the original environments and so it's using the engine of previous Ratchet and came out that from that era of Ratchet and Clank, but and they imported the environment, re-arted them. So that's a remake.
Yeah, it is a remake, but the thing is like. It's not running the original game underneath. It's not running the
original game.
And it's running, and it has completely different dialogue, different sequences. The flow is different. That's a remake. I don't think that's not even like a question. Like, no, that's a remake. This is interesting. Jay Shep, question for you, Brian. He wants to know if you play or like remasters.
Play them. I think the only one I played has been God of War 3, because my favorite game, one of my favorite games, and Master Chief because it came out on PC. But generally, I don't.
There you go. I think that's why you asked that question. All right. Next up, Jolly Yellow Nerd. Does Oblivion Remastered provide any clues about Elder Scrolls 6? Rich, I know you wanted to answer this one first, so go ahead.
Yes, it provides the biggest clue of them all, which is that Elder Scrolls 6 ain't coming out no time soon. Because if the devs are spending their time working on stuff like this instead of Elder Scrolls 6, when the hell do people think Elder Scrolls 6 is going to drop?
Well, this game wasn't developed directly by Vivo.
This is to
essentially blur the amount of time that it's making, because they have absolutely nothing in that space.
Yeah, it's a buy time. And again, I want people to understand this. Okay, more time has passed between the Elder Scrolls 6 announcement and now than between Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls 6 announcement. That's crazy, dude. That is insane. That shit ain't coming out anytime soon.
And if anyone goes back to episode 200 of Throwdown, when I first made an appearance, where I said these remasters, everyone is getting excited for remasters, where in reality it means that they got a whole lot of nothing right now.
Mm-hmm. That's what it means.
How much do you want to bet we're going to see a Skyrim HD3?
Another one.
Yeah, like we're going to, I think we're going to, I have a feeling we're probably those other Elder Scroll game remastered.
Maybe Morrowind, you know?
Yeah, like a Morrowind one. Here's the thing, Morrowind might be a bit of a hard one.
Yeah, super ancient, yeah. Who knows, maybe they have to actually remake that one.
Yeah.
I feel like that one might need crazy. A real remake.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Well, it's tough with Morrowind because I think it had like a giant map. Like, I remember the map was ridiculous. It's even bigger than, like, Witcher or any of those maps. Shit. It was, like, big. I don't know if it was procedural or what. That'd be interesting. That also was good games. That'd be nice if they did that. But they should work on 6. I agree with... You could only dip in the well so much. What are you going to go back? Oh, let's just remake the first one. You know? Just keep going backward.
I mean, Capcom's been doing it, right? So why not?
They have, yeah. But they're supposed to alter it, which is why I'm pissed with, like, Resident Evil 9. I'm like, come on, really? Like, you're already hinting at, like, we're gonna remake 5, we're gonna remake Code Veronica. It's like, how about 9?
Well, Chris, did you see those reports? There's been some clues, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a reach. I think that was clickbait.
Uh-oh, Cope.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I don't know. I want a real announcement, real teaser, real anything, you know, at this point. But clues. Ooh, there's clues. Like, whatever.
That's funny. For anybody that has played the Oblivion remaster, are there any clues for Elder Scrolls 6? You're muted. I don't know. That's what the question was.
Granted, it would probably look at every skin crane not different.
Yeah.
Change. There's a lot of things. That's a hard one.
Yeah. Jay Shep says, because he's been playing, he says he hasn't seen any. All right. So, too early to tell. Or may not be anything at all. What's up?
One quick comment I want to make. There is also rumors that Fallout 3 remaster.
Of course.
And that is probably going to come right in time for the second season of the show, if I had to make a guess. But I don't know when that show.
Yeah. Put a pin in that with that statement, Rich, because I think it may answer something that's coming up soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's for this one. It's for this next question. From Alpha Chuck, do you have any theories as to why the Oblivion remaster dropped when it did on a random Wednesday morning? To me, it seems pushing it back a few weeks to the June showcase would have been the ideal time for a surprise of this level. Is there a possibility that there's another shadow drop and they didn't want to have two during the same event? So, Rich, maybe they're going to announce Fallout during the event.
That's certainly possible. We know that... what is it, the Outer Worlds 2, they have a showcase for that the same day as the Xbox showcase. So I am definitely been thinking about what Xbox can show with their showcase. So yeah, that is a candidate.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's coming this year, though. I mean, that's probably next year, if anything. But again, I don't know. One thing I do know for sure, Chris's most anticipated Xbox exclusive Fable, that is definitely not dropping this year. So,
yeah, that ain't coming. But yeah, Alpha Chuck, your guess is as good as ours. We have no idea why they decided to just drop this game on a random Wednesday. Like, yeah, what?
It's not the first time we got a surprise drop from a Bethesda game. But the whole thing with the conference is a good point. I mean, the conference seems like a great time to do this. It would get the people going, as some would say. But the only way, there's only two reasons why they wouldn't do this. Number one is if they have something else where they would feel like this announcement would step over that, or two, Phil Spencer and his team is completely incompetent.
Here's something interesting real quick. Jay Shep says, I think they're pushing it out before the Microsoft earnings call. Not a bad theory. Yeah, not a bad theory. That's a good theory. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good theory. Not to mention the fact that they dropped a lot of stuff on Game Pass this month. I'm pretty sure this will probably be the most successful month for Game Pass in terms
of this. I subscribed. I resubscribed this month.
See.
They got my money.
I do want to make a comment because Carlos made me think of something. He said, What can they possibly announce that they're saving for the Xbox conference? Well, Carlos, there's a game called Starfield, and it's coming to PlayStation 5. That could be what they're going to announce. Because we all know that's going to happen.
That's a good point. That Starfield going to PS3 would be a big announcement. It's interesting because they released this. It was a shadow drop 2 days later, 2 days before another huge game came out with Expedition 33. And good thing it didn't really step on that, but it could have done damage, man.
Yeah, it could have. But we have a question about Expedition later on. We will talk about that. All right. Another one from Alpha Chuck. And this is kind of related to Expedition 33. Is what truly defines a AAA game the size of the studio? Expedition 33 looks and feels like a AAA experience, but comes from a team of only 30 and costs $50. No, the it's the budget of the game, not the size of the studio. That's what typically denotes it as a AAA game.
Yo, man,
yeah, you could have a smaller, a bigger budget. Like by that logic. You know, all the, back in the day, all those Final Fantasy, they wouldn't be considered AAA games.
Well, they were for the time. They cost a lot of money for those times, you know.
Not even that, like Final Fantasy.
They cost more money than the typical game of the time, but you're right. But yeah, it's always been the amount of money the game costs to make. That's what makes it AAA or not, typically. Yeah, there may be exceptions, but typically. Yeah, go ahead.
Tony, you mentioned a team of 30, and I'm like, really? You couldn't have hired 3 more people?
You know, yeah, exactly. 33 motherfuckers, you know? but yeah, I don't think we need to go into that too much. Typically, there may be exceptions here and there, but generally speaking, it's the budget of the game that makes it AAA, not the size of the studio.
But yeah, even then, like, you can, we don't know exactly how much that costs, do we?
No, we don't.
But I mean, theoretically, what if their budget is low too?
Yeah.
If they're doing a 30-person team, and how many years has it been? 5 years?
I have no idea.
I can't remember. If it was about 5 years, I don't, like, because it's Mercury Steam, right? So what's the time, what's a Mercury
Steam? Is there Mercury Steam?
I think it's Mercury Steam.
Let's look this up.
No, Sandfall Interactive is their first game.
Yeah, isn't it a bunch of Steam guys?
No, it's former Ubisoft people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, the Mercury Steam one is that other one, the guy with the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so, Kish Access, it was 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, so 5 years, he's very
good. Yeah.
Yeah, the budget can't be that much.
Yeah, it would be very surprising if it was a lot.
People, maybe you're doing a hiring studios. There is a lot of these talk about, okay, it was Opal, but how many external asset come from China?
10.
That is a thing, by the way.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately.
It's, you know, somebody's got to do the work, and it's got to come.
Yeah. Some shout outs here. A Dirty Death Dealer, Otaku Man, Kid Shack. Thanks for joining us. All right, so that was pretty easy. There's not really a debate what makes a game AAA. You know, it's a budget.
It's a budget, but I also think sometimes
generally.
Sometimes sometimes the thing like I think that people did many titles were AAA. They were
yeah. Just because a AAA publisher puts out a game doesn't automatically make that game AAA. You know, that's like saying Valiant Hearts from Ubisoft is AAA. No, it's a little indie game, budget wise. You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah, come on, guys. It's the budget of the game. All right. Next up here, Black Viet. How many L's can Ubisoft earn after seeing their old employees create a game that has sold 1 million copies in just a few days, while also stating those numbers do not include Game Pass users? Yeah. See, this is what I want to see. Not players playing or whatever the fuck, users on this game right now.
Active users.
This is 1 million sold, bro. That's the shit I'm talking about. I don't want to see 3 million users or whatever the fuck Ubisoft was saying. Oh, by the way, how come that number has been updated, Ubisoft? You know, how many copies have you sold of that? You know what? Let me stop. How many copies have you sold? They told this fucking little studio, they told you how many copies they sold. How many copies of Assassin's Creed Shadows have you sold, Ubisoft? Don't tell me this 3 million players bullshit. Nobody, that doesn't mean shit. This means something. 1 million copies, that's hard fucking numbers, bro. You know?
That's hard numbers, and those are real. They're saying sales, legitimate
sales. They're not even counting fucking Game Pass, bro. Sales, you know. They could have easily gone, oh, we have 2 million players on this game. They could have done that, right? No, they did the honorable thing and told you how many copies they sold, bro. You know, so good on them. And man, like you said, this game probably didn't cost a lot of money. So that million sales is probably really fucking good, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you come out here and say Assassin's Creed, if Assassin's Creed Shadow sold a billion, that's a flop. Because you know that shit costs a lot of fucking money, you know? But in this case, yeah. I'm pretty sure these guys are over the moon, bro. They're going to come into that office happy as a motherfucker on Monday morning, you know?
Yeah. It's like they probably, again, you're only doing the 30 person team.
Everybody gets bonuses, you know.
we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Goes. But yeah, like they probably did. Director, yeah, that's pretty damn good. That's also effective. I would have to say effective strategy, right? You know, that's what Yoshida and what's his face for PlayStation guy was saying, right? You know, smaller teams, you know, making these, you know, putting out these games, spending, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know
what?
What's up?
Gaming is healing.
The game is healing. You know?
Well, we have gotten past a lot of that rhetoric said. These guys probably started in 2020, and that's when we're already starting to talk about bloated budgets.
Yeah. So, yeah, good on them. And again, actual sales. Not fucking players, not engagement, any of this horseshit, you know? Fuck that.
Another game sold some pretty damn good.
No, yeah, it did. Yeah, we'll get to that soon. All right, another one from Black Viet. Will we see a shift in Western game development and budgets after the success of X-Men 33? Probably not. I don't think this game will be the cause of it. Itself, because we've already seen a lot of these type of games already do well. Like, didn't the fucking I'm forgetting the name of the game now, the fucking Starship Troopers type of game. I'm pretty sure that wasn't a big AAA game. That shit did gangbusters. You know?
No, that was
Helldivers, thank you. That wasn't a big AAA studio or whatever, right? Phew, that fucking game sold very well. So I'm hoping that examples like that will make the industry move that way, but I don't think this one will do it on its own. I think more of these happening will do that, you know?
I will say this. the industry is very much aware of the issue.
Better be.
And like I said, you know, previous episode, knowing people that have gone to stuff like that, the word behind that everybody's mouths is a lot of students are not looking to make these huge investments. They're looking for smaller titles that have a, you know, 2 to 3 year development time, not an exorbitant budget. So they're looking to fill it in. So hopefully with more, you have a, you know, a smaller team, smaller budgeted game that gets out there. You know, maybe if it doesn't do amazingly, it's still not too so much of a hit on the actual studio to continue. Or yep. If it does well, it's, you know, really, really good for them.
Jay Shep says, I don't want to lose AAA titles. So you won't. It's just you're not going to see many of them. But then again, you're not seeing as many of them right now. Because they're taking 50 years to make, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing about it, if you're going line of like big, you know, published AAA, those big budgeted titles were always in far between in general. Like, what was always in between? There was always some sort of worked their way up to being big budgeted. But now every single one of them are the where what's happening is essentially a shift back where there you have studios like a team or like kind of what Ubisoft used to put out smaller titles, and then they have their big massive titles in there. But what killed THQ? So you started a huge investment in all of their titles and making these massive games, which caused their studio to collapse.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see big budget game go by the way. You're still going to, but I think the studios are getting smarter or essentially reminding themselves about the way things, you don't make every single title that you release a big fucking massive expensive title. You have your big guys sitting in parts of the year, you know, right? You know, sprinkled throughout the year, and you have your smaller titles, your middle A titles in the gaps. And if you remember, that's kind of what and Xbox kind of were doing when they were making investment independence, because they really didn't have a lot of studios developing those middle A titles. So they figured they could fill the gaps in a million little tiny indie.
Yeah. All right. Jay Shep got a question from him, and I'm glad you're here, Jay Shep, because I need some slight clarification on this one. He goes, is it just me, or does it seem like a lot of people are defending or boasting about the sales numbers of Expedition 33? It's as if there's some kind of hidden competition. Again, I want some clarification on that. I don't know what you mean by that. Like, are you suggesting there's some nefarious stuff going on? Remember, and J-Shub, let's be honest. You know, you're my brother, right? So we could be honest with each other here. I know that you're always highly skeptical of Xbox teams. Remember, this is on PlayStation as well. So it's okay. You could lean back on the skepticism. It's just a regular game, bro. You know? But what would it be in competition with? Dragon Age? I mean, that shit's fucking dead. That's not competition. You know? Like... Yeah. I don't know. You need to explain that one, because I don't really understand that. As far as people boasting about the game, full disclosure, and I said this last week, I don't really go on Twitter during the weekend. So if people are boasting, I have no fucking idea.
I got. This is me just speculating, because I'm not into all the hoopla over it. But I'm guessing it's a lot of Xbox people boasting about it because it's on Game Pass.
Maybe. I mean, I could see that.
I don't know. That's just my guess.
Well, what would the competition be, though, Carlos? The hidden competition. That's the part I'm stuck on.
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe, PlayStation, PS Plus Platinum or whatever the hell they call it is hot garbage because they don't got these $1 million seller games day one launch. Something like that, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure a good chunk of those sales came from PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I guess.
If we're talking sales, I mean,
I'm pretty sure they mostly. If it's anything like Indiana Jones, this game probably sold the most on PlayStation.
Oh yeah, but I would PC. Say, yeah, but I would say like you know, we didn't have to pay for it. It was in our subscription, while you guys had to pay $70 for it or whatever how much that costs.
Yeah, but we actually bought it, and like you cheap motherfuckers on your poverty box, you know that'll be the retort. What's up, Rich?
You've been reading Techno Fabulous?
Yeah. Oh man, Rich, what's up? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, to piggyback off of what Carlos and Tony said, I don't spend my weekends looking at what people are talking about on social media over the weekend. But if I had to make a guess, I would say the people that are boasting about it is because they are a Game Pass subscriber. Because as I mentioned earlier, this entire month, Xbox has a ton of stuff on Game Pass. And not to mention, Doom is also coming to Game Pass. So they have a lot of, there's a lot of value in terms of the releases that they're putting out, especially when two of those games are now the highest rated games, you know, for the entire year so far. So I think if they are bragging, it's for that reason. If it's an Xbox bragging, but I have no
idea. J Shep says, I felt like a lot of people were trying to make sure Oblivion didn't overshadow it. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Oblivion's a fucking beast, you know?
I did see some of that. I saw some people making the comments like, oh, they wish Oblivion came out later because they felt it was going to overshadow this game. Clearly, that hasn't happened based upon the sales. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But again, I'm not Xbox. I don't count in metrics like Xbox does. So I don't know what the hell any of the Your sales Imperial? Means. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I'm not sure. But we'll get answers in time.
Don't worry, Carlos. I got the joke. All right. Okay, so now we're going to go to a handful of GTA 6 questions.
Excuse me?
Jay Shep starts us off.
That game?
Yeah. Jay Shep goes, assuming GTA drops in mid-November, which game, if any, released in the same time frame will get devoured? I did a little research during the show. The answer is none, because no games are slated for November, bro. Everybody's avoiding that fucking month like the plague. I went to three different websites, you know, 2025 November game releases, nothing. It's not overshadowing everything. Everybody moved the fuck out of the way, bro. So, the answer is, it's not overshadowing anything. Everybody got the fuck out of the way of that meteor. That shit's coming like fucking Final Fantasy meteor. You know, everybody got the fuck out of the way, man. So, yeah.
As they should.
Yeah. Fuck.
Because GTA 6 is, it'll take over everything.
Go, yo, Ghost of Yote said, I'm coming out early October, bro. He said, fuck that. Like, you better get that game ready, man.
Maybe that's why Oblivion just shadow dropped out of nowhere. It's like, we saw the future.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, because that could have been a really cool November game. It's like, no. Stay the fuck away. Something's coming. Make it landfall, you know?
And are these signs that it will probably release in November then? You know, maybe the industry knows it's like, it's that... that dark secret or that really unknown known secret in the industry.
Yeah, I think
like
if everybody moved out of the way of November, then they must know that it's almost certain, right?
Yeah.
Because once you wait, you could wait a little bit to Rockstar's moves, but they somehow knew. Like Carlos said, they all almost made this decision at the same time.
Yeah, I think they know. What's up, Rich?
I think PlayStation definitely knows this because I wasn't expecting the Ghost of Yote game to come out October 2nd.
Yeah.
You know, when Ghost of Tsushima came out, that came out in July. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe that they were going to release this game around the same time. So for them to say October 2nd, that's a very specific time right before you get to November and December. So they must know something, I would imagine. But the last thing I was going to mention is I'm pretty sure they will announce other things that are coming in September, October, November, you know, at the Summer Game Fest, because usually when those, you know, that and the Xbox Showcase, that's when you find out about other stuff that's coming out the rest of the year. So I assume that there is some stuff still coming. But yeah, if they find out that GTA is coming out in November, do not be surprised if you hear, oh, we needed to delay our game to polish, you know, you hear people coming out, we need to keep making it. We're not done. But yeah, November sounds like the safe bet to assume it's probably
coming. That's wild, bro. Nothing's coming out. All right. Jolly Yellow Nerd. Both of his questions are about GTA. If GTA 6 is released at $90 or $100, what publishers or specific game franchises you think will be among the first to immediately jump to that price, with the reasoning being a thinly veiled, well, GTA did it, so why not use it? Why not us too? I think the major, if this happens, I people are going to get mad at me. I think Sony's going to be the first to do it.
Oh.
Not only are they going to be the first to do it, they're probably going to be mad that they didn't do it first, you know, since they were the ones that you know, kind of introduced us to $70 games. They didn't introduce it, they popularized it, because that NBA game tried it first. People were like, fuck that. But then suddenly, oh, it's got a Sony logo on it. I'll pay $70. I'll gladly pay $70 for it. Motherfuckers were saying that, you know? Death Stranding 2, a collector's edition may be $100, but not the fucking game.
90, the question said 90 bucks, right?
90 to 100.
90 to 100, yeah. I mean, Zelda is the first game that comes to mind. That, you know, and Nintendo's doing the 80 thing with the Mario Kart, so the Zelda would definitely be 90, over 90 bucks.
Yeah, Rich, you going to say something?
I do have a question for Tony, but I also want to provide an answer to this. First and foremost, Take-Two, they are the, you know, distributor, the, you know, they're behind, they're the ones working with Rockstar. So I would assume the NBA 2K game, that is definitely going to go up in price, because that was one of the first games where the price went up. It just makes sense to me, also because that Take-Two CEO is very greedy, and Chris knows this. He said it before on the show, so we know what that's all about. But the question I have for you, Tony, is you said PlayStation.
Yeah, I think Sony. Yeah, I think Sony's going to be the first one.
Well, let me ask you a question. What the hell game is Sony going to release at a higher price that we don't know about? Is it going to be this intergalactic game that Naughty Dog is working on, or is it something else that they haven't
announced? The Last of Us Part 2 remake. That's what it's going to be.
There you go. There you go. That's it.
Or better yet, Concord remake.
You know, Rich is going to be buying that.
You know?
No, absolutely won't.
Death Stranding Concord 2 will not. Death Stranding 2, J-Shep, will not cost $90. If you could actually pre-order it on Amazon right now for $70, so that's not going to be the game.
Yeah. You can get the expensive statue thing without the game, without the disc.
J-Shep says Sony already announced Intergalactic at $70. Well, that's good of them. But yeah, it could also be Nintendo. But like, let's do it. $80, you know, fuck that. Let's go over 100, baby. But in all honesty, I don't think a lot of developers are going to do this, because people understand that GTA is a special case. That is the only game that could get away with that. I don't think anybody else get. Look at the pushback Nintendo's getting for $80 games. Nintendo is getting pushback, you know? I don't think it's going to become mainstream. I'm worried that $80 games may become mainstream, but $100 games? No way. That's not going to happen. Not in the next 5 years. You know, that'll probably still happen in our lifetime, obviously. This is a very special game. Even Call of Duty fans wouldn't accept that shit. You know, be like, well, I'm not paying that, you know? But they'll buy a special collector edition for twice that. But that's a whole other story. So what do you guys think about that? Because I think developers aren't going to do that. They're not going to charge $100 for a game just because GTA does it.
I agree with that. I think that would be suicide. Like, you, unless you are full of yourself to think you're on the level of GTA to be able to. Only Nintendo is full of themselves to do that. But no, I don't think most other guys are sane.
Well, we got a special guest over on YouTube, Mr. Torrence Davis. What's going on? Make sure you go to Davis Daily, the YouTube channel, so you can check out my appearance on Warzone Aftermath. I had a great talk with Torrance there, you know?
Yeah,
Batman, motherfucker.
Chris G says, I remember when N64 games were $90 to $100. Yep, we remember those days. Well, Super Nintendo games were costing how much, too?
Nintendo games?
You know?
Yeah. I mean, Super Mario World was like, if you bought it by itself, it was like $85 or $90 from Twitter.
That's right, yeah.
That's why your parents are like, yo, you better not complete this game right.
That's right, you enjoy this shit.
Yeah, you better enjoy this, motherfucker.
I still play my games that way, though.
You should, you know? Torrance says, people want games, they will pay for it. Most hardcore gamers don't have shit else to spend money on anyway. No, I mean, there's going to be those FOMO guys, you know?
Those guys are buy game, though.
Oh, shoot. Some of it, Manny's looking at all of us right now in the throwdown chat, you know? I get them cheap on Steam, baby. You know?
Yeah, cheap on Steam, and you just put them in your virtual collection. It's like just buying them, putting it on the shelf. It's like, I'll read that a
Well, I have those two and a lot of digital books like that too. You know, my book backlog is worse than my fucking game backlog. Those sales are cheap, you know. All right. And the
play games.
Yeah, play your games. I play games. Man, Torrance said you just cut up deep saying that. You know, it's funny because, like, remember, like, during the PS3 era, yeah, there were a lot of remasters. I had to stop myself because I would buy them and then never play them. I would just keep buying them.
I remember Carlos again. No, Brian. Brian said you were a part of the problem.
I was. You know, what's the link for Warzone Aftermath? I'll bring it up after this next question. Another one from Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd. With Rockstar keeping GTA 6 information hush hush, do you think we will get some conveniently timed quote unquote leaks? I think some leaks were intentional. Chris, what do you think about that?
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, Rockstar seems to be doing this low key marketing where you have like controlled leaks, right? Because like the last time there was a leak, I would think they would raise high hell that all that stuff came out, and they really did. So that's bizarre. And the only time you do that is if it's intentional. Get stuff out there for free publicity. So that's possible. But I think if November is the launch window for GTA 6, then by summer you'll see legit ads start coming out. Like legit, like TV, posters in the subway, buses, all that stuff. They're going to have to start that campaign very soon. Now, I know it's GTA 6, so it's like, it kind of sells itself, but they're still going to push it, right? They still want new players and new people. Have an experience like somehow you dodge 5 or you're just old enough now to play it, then, yeah, they're going to want to kick off a proper marketing campaign. There may be a leak. I wouldn't put it past.
Yeah, I'm trying to post a link to the Warzone, but it's posting this fucking GameStop thing instead. Maybe this is GameStop. The right one. Yeah, because it was the last link I had. There we go. Got it right now. It was an article that we were referencing here. All right. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in a few weeks per quote-unquote insiders. Exactly. We'll see about that. All right. We got a couple sponsored questions by Mr. Ramudeth. Very generous guy. You know, he doesn't need to do this stuff every week, but he does because he loves Throwdown, bro. So he's sponsoring some more J-Shep questions. I noticed the original developers from Until Dawn were complaining on Twitter about being left out of the live action movies credits. What are your thoughts?
That sucks, but do you want to be associated with that movie? It looks like a travesty. Yeah.
Do you really want to be associated with that? Essentially, an awful thing that's called, that has nothing to supply Until Dawn.
Absolutely nothing. All. It's like horror Groundhog Day. It's ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the game. Manny's 100%. I saw the trailer. I'm like, what the fuck does this have to? I played the game. Like, this is nothing. Yeah. Like, they're repeating the same day over and over again. They get killed in different ways. I'm like, that's not Until Dawn. It's like some stupid producer saw the hourglass with the skull on it and went, oh my God, I know what we should do. Yeah, I saw Groundhog Day. Like, no.
We're taking it in a new direction.
Yeah. So, you know what? To be fair, like, if it was me, it's like, yeah, don't put my shit. You guys have your name on the game. That's key, right?
Here's the thing, like, when, you know, unless the people that are part of the development had some direct attachment to the content, kind of like Neil Druckmann with Last of Us, officially those people don't need credited at all, you know, unless they had some sort of like
if you were working on the production and then you left off, that's fucked up. Yeah, then you get a lawyer.
Or you could say Until Dawn based on so-and-so writer, and which, as I remember, the writer of them was actually the writer that did it. I can't remember his name. So, no, they don't need to do
that. Yeah, they should be thankful they're not credited, you know? Keep my name off that trash.
Keep my name off that trash.
Oh, yeah. No, seriously.
Those people shouldn't get butthurt over that shit. Seriously.
No, don't. Yeah. It's like, when did that movie come out? Like, yesterday?
Who the fuck knows?
Yes. Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
So. Yeah, Friday. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Don't even worry about people.
That movie won't
coming
be
to Netflix next week, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't be in theaters at dawn. Rich, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, let me start by saying I'm glad this question was asked because I saw what started this. You know, it was the director of Days Gone that shared the tweet from the writer that was complaining about this. And I agree pretty much with what Emilio, Carlos, and Tony said. The movie is complete dog shit. And I know this
trash out of here.
I know this because I saw the movie, so I can confirm to everybody.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yes. I can confirm it is complete garbage. Yes, garbage.
Wait, hold on. That was me saying it.
Yeah, that was Chris. Get the credit right.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, yeah. All right.
That's the credit you want to give, you know?
But just like you guys said, no connection whatsoever to the game. The only connection is the therapist is in the movie. And he actually gets killed in the movie. So, yeah, very interesting decision. And aside from that, that's it. They don't take anything about you having to make choices. None of that. It's just like you guys said. It's the whole thing. Can they survive in a night? And it goes over and over again with them getting killed. Very ridiculous. But at the end, which I find funny, is they somewhat tease there's going to be another movie. I'm like, who the hell is going to? That's not happening. That's not happening. And obviously, and I saw there was a comment made about they may make another game. I don't know if that's going to happen now, because if you pissed off the writer of the original game, I don't know if they will want to be involved.
Larry Fett, he's been a lot of... My guess is that he probably said, hey, why didn't I get a credit? Because they didn't adapt your Until Dawn, but...
Yeah, that's what it is.
They just took the name.
It's only Until Dawn in name only. In fact... Until Dawn was, he said, it would be a movie that he had pitched but never could get made.
So
the irony.
Decided to make it into a game.
Yeah, look at that.
So the last comment that I will make, if there is anyone that actually wants to see this movie, you should go to the theater and just be prepared to get a nice sleep, because you will sleep your way through this movie. Until Yawn is a better title than Until Dawn. you will sit through it. Sure. Complete garbage.
Man. Thank you for that movie review, man. don't sleep on Claire Obscura. Yeah, Torrance, we were talking about the game earlier on, talking about how they actually sold copies, not just engagement.
They didn't have 1,000 engagements. Was it 1 million engagements?
1 million, yeah. Fucking bullshit. All right, another sponsor question from Jay Shep, originally from Jay Shep, kind of related to Expedition 33. Looking at the success of turn-based RPGs lately, should Square Enix reconsider their stance on not making AAA turn-based JRPGs? Yes, and especially because, not only because people are actually cool with turn-based games, but because the last Final Fantasy game didn't do so well. You have your excuse right there. Oh, this game didn't sell so well. Let's go back to turn-based. There you go. People will buy these games, bro. There was a time where turn-based didn't sell as much, but that's not the case. Fucking Baldur's Gate, bro. How many copies did that sell? That's turn-based. Absolutely turn-based. People will buy these games, bro. So, yeah, go back to the drawing board, man.
There's a game that was made by French developers and no one ever heard about that's as obscure as it can get. And it sold 1 million copies within less than a week.
Yeah, brand new IP, you know?
And it's a Western game. It's not even a Japanese game, which is the craziest part. But yeah, like with the success of this, and obviously, you know, we can harken back to the Persona franchise, which is probably the most outstanding like turn-based JRPG. There shouldn't be an excuse to at least try it. And Square Enix knows because they have other franchises.
Yeah,
that do this. So why not Final Fantasy?
Yeah, I agree. Like go back to turn based, bro. You know you need. Yeah, got, I had him to say, gotta have something. You know, and it's not even that I'm dogging.
Gotta have something.
Yeah, I'm not even dogging action RPGs. It's just like this is not working for you anymore. Go back to basics. You know, jump on that bandwagon even. You know, of turn based games. Again, look at Baldur's Gate. You know, all right. Another one here. Oh, another generous person. Sir Rich-a-Lot is sponsoring Jay Shep's question. So thank you to Sir Rich-a-Lot.
Interesting.
So Jay Shep's question
is...
We're
in the presence of royalty.
Yes. So Jay Shep's question for Richard Bailey Jr. Interesting. But we could all answer this, but he wants you to go first. What are your top three games of 2025 so far?
That is a phenomenal question. I gotta say, yes, Carlos is very top tier with the timing of these. We gotta give him credit for this. All right,
really?
Now, yes, we must do that. So, nice. Here's what I will say. This is gonna be quite controversial because you guys might not know what I'm about to say, but we'll see. Let me start at number three. Okay, I gotta build up to number one.
I like this.
Number three. Dynasty Warriors Origins.
Whoa, Rico, where you at?
Yeah. Now, Dynasty Warriors Origins, because I spoke about this game in the past. Obviously, I have played Dynasty Warriors games in the past, so I thought going into this game, it's going to be more of the same. They announced, it's going to be the same type of game. But no, they really added a lot to Dynasty Warrior Origins, the whole story, the character you play as, and how that evolves to what's happening in the other games, because this is an origin story. But no, that game is fantastic. That's a game that I started playing. It came out in January. I have not finished it yet. I'm close to the end, though. I know I'm to the end. But yeah, it's a game that I can't stop playing. So that's number three. Number two, the first Berserker Kazan.
Ooh.
Yeah. That game is fantastic. Again, they call it a hardcore action RPG, and I laughed when I hear that term, hardcore. I don't know what the hell that meant when I heard it, but yeah, it's just one of those games you play. You have the tough boss battles, and like I have admitted on this show before, I did get my ass whooped multiple times. But it does force you to learn how to play the game better. And as I started to play the game is fantastic, phenomenal. So hopefully it gets some attention. I'm pretty sure it's going to get some recognition when it comes to game of in terms of the game awards. It's going to get some type of nomination for action or something like that. We'll see. But here is the shocker. My number one game that, and I say this, and I'm fairly confident that this game will still be on my list by the end of this year. It may be number one. I have no idea. But right now, I think it's fairly number one. It is, of course, Expedition 33.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, you guys were talking about this, and you see there are a lot of questions people have about this game on tonight's show. There's a reason for that. This game is fucking phenomenal. Oh, all right, shit. That's what I have to say. First and foremost, I don't know, and I know Carlos said he was going to start the game. I don't know if he has, because we haven't spoken this yet. Oh, you did? Okay, I definitely want to hear what Carlos has to say when we get to his picks, but I will just say this. The setup for the whole whole prologue that goes into the game, I haven't spoken to one person yet that said that didn't sell them on making them want to play this game, because the way they set everything up, that you're starting this expedition, and it's some very deep stuff story-wise. Again, this is a game that I started playing, I want to say 11:30 on Friday night. I've been playing this game all weekend.
Damn.
So the game is fantastic. The soundtrack, the music when you fight the bosses, that soundtrack is fucking fantastic. And again, I did say before that I didn't really get a chance to get into Persona. I did play Persona Tactics, but I never had a chance to play Persona 5. So I need to go back and play those games, because I see people making a lot of those comparisons. But the storytelling, fighting the bosses, and the entire world, the entire experience, it is an outstanding game so far. And to think that this is the first game from this new studio, I'm very excited to see what they do in the future. But yeah, I'm totally invested in the game. I think all the praise is worth it. And I am very curious to see where this game will be by the end of this year, whether or not more people play it. I've been telling everybody they need to try it out. It is on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass and you haven't tried it out, you're curious, I will highly recommend you try this out. And even if you don't have it on Game Pass, you want to play it on PlayStation, again, $50 game. It's not $70. It's not $80, $90. It's only $50. So, but yeah, right now, that's at the very top of my list at this current.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
That's interesting. I don't have any honorable mentions right now. I played a lot of stuff. I did enjoy Monster Hunter Wilds. I still haven't had a chance to get back into that and play with you guys. But man, this RPG thing, this got its hooks in me. This game here, I can't I can't put anything else above it. The game is fantastic so far. Now we'll see. Again, I think I think I've gone to, I think, the fifth place in this game right now. So I haven't finished it yet, but I will be done with it, I think, you know, as I continue playing it. But yeah, the game is fantastic.
That's awesome. And I think this is why Jay Shep wanted you to answer first, because you are basically our dedicated like game reviewer, you know, so it's really, you know, you have wide breadth of knowledge to hear. This is one of the reasons, besides the fact that I love having your company, why I wanted you on the show, because I'm not a dedicated gaming guy anymore, but I wanted that for the show, and you never disappoint with that, bro. So that's awesome. Like, those three picks came out, like, yo, I was like, yo, what the fuck is Rich gonna pick? You know, those definitely came out of nowhere. Fantastic, bro. Awesome. And I'm glad you went first, because the rest of us may disappoint you, Jay Shep.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Let's go down the line here. Manny, what are your favorite games of 2025 so far that have come out in 2025?
Like the one that I'm theoretically 25 game.
It's yeah. a 20 game. Indiana Jones game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't played anything.
Yeah. Though.
I guess whatever's left over. It's weird. It's a weird one. So yeah. I mean, I get back to me when I'm. Oh, actually, no. Soul Reaver. No, I don't want to forget even.
Yeah.
Soul Reaver.
Manny, don't feel bad. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people, myself included, they're going to give a similar answer to yours. But we'll keep going down the line here. Carlos, what about you?
I've only played two games from that came out this year. So I'll just give out the number one. It's Monster Hunter. It's fun as hell, man. Always fun. You know, you guys check out the lives, and we always have fun playing, you know, with the fellas. So yeah, it's still, you know, it's Monster Hunter Worlds, but, you know, even prettier, man. So I appreciate that game. Love that game. Number two is, you know, going back to what Rich has mentioned, Clair Obscur Expedition 33. It's, I haven't played as much as Rich, because I started it just like, was it yesterday or today? So I've only gotten maybe 2 hours of the game. I've gotten past the prologue and I've started Act One. And yes, Rich, the beginning, yeah, that's a great hook. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. It's a great hook to get you into the game. even when right before Act One starts, that I was like, damn, I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, I agree with what Rich mentioned about Expedition 33. I'm hooked. I want to keep playing it. We'll see if eventually whenever I beat that game, if that surpasses Monster Hunter, we'll see.
Interesting. All right. Similar to Carlos, I've only played two games this year. I've actually been playing a lot of games. It's just most of them have been released in other years because there've been a lot of fighting games. Like Carlos, my number one, obviously Monster Hunter, you already know. Check out the streams. That's all you need to know. And we're going to go back to streaming this weekend. So there's that. Yeah,
I did play that.
Yeah, see? So there you go, Manny. There's your number one by default.
By default.
Yeah, Monster Hunter. And then my number two game, because I've only played two new games, and this is a game I spent all weekend playing, Fatal Fury City of the Wolves. Absolutely love it. I'm a little upset right now because I've already beat the game with every character and cleared all the episodes of South Town with every character. Put about 56 hours into the game. I've been going hard with this game, bro. Love it. So now I'm just waiting
the most I have seen Tony on.
Well, with Monster Hunter, I already put 120 or whatever hours into that. So significantly more.
You have it up 120 hours before anybody had already played it.
So. Yeah. And then another 60 hours on top of that.
That's like 3 hours. Hey, it's nice to Sony on.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, but here's the funny thing. I finally turned it on because I was offline on purpose because I couldn't let people know I was playing this game. So, Fatal Fury has been fucking awesome. Now I'm just looking forward to all the season one characters, which are all free, by the way. You buy the game, you automatically get access to all that stuff, which is very nice of them. I'm still not a fan of the stupid guest characters. I'm not even playing as Ronaldo. I'm like, oh, he doesn't have an arcade mode or episode of South Town. That means I don't have to play as him, you know, which is good.
So wait, the other guy does?
He does, yeah. He has a full arcade mode, full episodes of South Town, but Ronaldo doesn't, which is very interesting. You know,
he is an extra. He's got nothing connected.
Yeah, there's something interesting about the game. If you watch the like the new anime intro, I think Ronaldo was supposed to be DLC because right at the beginning they have these like characters in kind of silhouette. They're all the season one characters, but there's one exception. Jae Hoon, he's the Taekwondo guy. He is in the game, but one of the other characters, Mr. Big from Art of Fighting, is a DLC character, but he's in the anime intro. He gets a full, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And Ronaldo shows up at the very end of, you know, where they show the characters that are coming for season one. So I'm like, I think they moved him up, you know, which is probably why he doesn't have an arcade ending or anything. Like, he's not available in arcade mode at all. It's crazy. He's only available for you know, online and versus and practice and shit. But yeah, been having fun. But again, you know, because again, I've been playing a lot of other games, but they don't count. Actually, here's the thing. Because you can't count Indiana Jones. I also can't count Capcom Fighting Collection, which is a quote-unquote new game because it's a new collection. I've been having fun with that, too, just being real. So if I do get, if I can't slip that in as third, that'll be my third. I'll say this. So the Capcom versus SNK games, awesome. Okay, so I think the second one has the better gameplay, right? But that first one, that presentation is so fucking good, you know, with those backgrounds and shit, like pure 2D backgrounds, none of that 3D stuff. Great, you know? So I've been having fun with that. Fun going back to, you know, Power Stone. And yes, I've never played Capcom Fighting Evolution. I just didn't buy because I was just kind of done by that point. But I always heard this game was trash. I played myself. And yeah, I can confirm this game is absolute fucking garbage. It is bad. It is ugly. I'm like, Capcom, what the fuck were you doing? You know, ugly fucking game. I have a full review of the game, you know, the collection, like whenever the embargo is. Kind of weird. The only thing I have embargoed is like two fucking games on the collection, you know, which I can't talk about. Well, ironically, it's that one, but I can still tell you it's shit. The game sucks. You know, it's crap. Everybody was right about it. But anyway, so that those are my three. But Monster Hunter, that's already, bro. But thankfully, there will be more games coming out that I'm interested in playing. Doom, bro, you already know. Doom, it's Doom. The Dark Ages dropping in like a month. It's a couple of weeks. Oh, shit, April's almost over. Let's fucking go. Death Stranding in fucking June. Metal Gear, right? I'm going to play Ghost of Yote because I want to see what that's all about. And if it comes out, because you never know, I will play GTA 6 as well. So there's going to be, I will be talking about some games, but I know there's other stuff people are talking about, like this Expedition game. I'm happy people are enjoying it. I know Rich already gave it high praise. I'm just personally not interested, but, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, let's go down the
big
line.
Fucking deal.
Your shout out to Brett. Brian, what new games have you played this year that you like?
I like how you actually asked me that question, Tony.
Yes. Yeah, because you probably played like 15 games from like 1997 or something.
I played games that came out on consoles that don't exist anymore. So, yeah. For the most part, Monster Hunter, I've got the Platinum, as you know. So I'm just waiting around for more content. The only other game I played that came out this year that I'm still playing is this game called... called Eternal Strands. Not to be confused with Death Stranding. It's very different. It's from ex-BioWare devs. It was the one where like the dragon that was flying around and then the girl freezes the wings off the dragon and then stops flying, really. It was one of those games that just was on a sizzle reel and everyone just forgot about. So I've been playing that. It is very janky, but it's very much a first game, but it's kind of begs the question if Expedition 33 comes out looking and playing like that for their first game. So what's wrong with these BioWare devs or ex-BioWare devs? Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, that's about it.
Monster Hunter, obviously.
Yeah, Monster Hunter. I actually do want to get into the Expedition 33, and I'm surprised that Tony isn't a big fan of it, given how much you... praised Persona. And
yeah,
it seems
this is a
very Persona-esque.
Yeah, but Brian, here's one of those Tony quirks. I don't like those graphics with turn-based combat. That weirds me out. When I see turn-based combat, I'm expecting some Japanese anime looking type of deal, you know?
So then if hypothetical Final Fantasy 17 came out looking better than 16 and that was turn based, would you be okay with that or would you?
Yeah, because it's still going to have that anime aesthetic. This looks straight up like a Western RPG with turn based graphics, you know?
Okay, cool. Not going to question it anymore. I know Brett would, but I'm not.
Again, we are Tony Quirks, so just don't question it.
Hence why I'm not going to question it anymore. Yeah. Just like, we're Tony Quirks. Got it. As with Tony, I'm looking forward to Doom because it's Doom. So why do you need any more questions?
Yeah.
And
2 weeks?
If it does come out, GTA 6.
I'm still in for Deep Down.
Nice one, Carlos. Nice one. GTA 6 is like the big hypothetical, you know, because no one knows. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chris, what about you?
The only thing I played that came out this year, I think, Monster Hunter Wilds. I mean, the Marvel vs. Capcom collection was last year.
Yeah, that was last year, yeah.
Yeah, so, no, that's the other best thing I played. I'm... The only thing I have down the road to look forward to, and I'm not keen on much else this year. I mean, I'm not buying the Switch right away, so I'm not getting like Donkey. I could play Metro Prime 4 and it look like mud, but I'll try it. Yeah, no, but Monster Hunter Wilds. That's it.
That's all I've been. That's it. For. Monster Hunters, man. The squad. yeah. All right. Next up, Kishak. And let me finish this question, guys. Somebody may jump in. Let me finish this question. And I also want to answer it first because this question triggered me. Why is it that whenever a multiplayer game is revealed, you see a bunch of gamers complaining that single player is the only correct choice, but you don't see the same shit from the multiplayer gamers whenever a single player game is revealed? So when I first read this question, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. How come the multiplayer people don't complain? Then I remembered the fucking PS3 and 360 era when we had tacked on multiplayer because everybody had to ask, where's the multiplayer? Where's the multiplayer? Fucking game journalists, fucking gamers. Where's the multiplayer? This is why we had games that had no business having multiplayer tacked on. Uncharted, The Last of Us, Assassin's Creed, Tomb Raider, Dead Space. Like, bro, like... There was a huge thing, was like these multiplayer people. We gotta have multiplayer. Gotta have multiplayer. We had a multiplayer. So this shit absolutely fucking happens, bro.
That's fucking bullshit.
Think about one of our favorite games here, and by us, I mean me and Manny specifically, right? The Order 1886. What was the big criticism besides the fact that it was 5 hours? Where's the multiplayer? You know? So no, motherfuckers absolutely get into that shit all the time, you know? I do believe it's lessened in recent years with this generation. I think people are okay with single-player games just being single-player games. But there was a time, specifically that era, where everything had to have a multiplayer fucking mode. And if it didn't, you're going to get questions, you know?
A lot of the game at the time asking where...
Where's the multiplayer?
And it became, we need to make these games worthwhile. No, they need worth. So where's the multi?
Yeah, I think it's happening now. But yeah, no, that got to be like, hold. Because at first I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then it's like, wait. We got that whole fucking generation of this shit, you know?
Yeah. Tacked on multiplayer. What was factions for The Last of Us? That was
tacked on multiplayer, bro.
Player. Yep.
That game had no business having a multiplayer mode. Neither did Uncharted. Neither did all those fucking games I just mentioned. All of them had fucking Mass Effect, fucking Dragon Age. Why? You know? Because they needed to take that fucking box, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, that and I'll take that box. Also wanted to jump into that space where what PlayStation was essentially during this generation. That, you know, that service sort of aspect where people are constantly coming back and buying little bits here and there, you know, little bits of DLC, costumes, emotes, all that shit.
Yeah. So, and then as for the other part of the question, why do single player gamers always complain when the game's just, multiplayer? Because they want more value for their fucking game, bro. Like, again, I don't have the numbers here, but a lot of people like single player campaigns, you know? And again, we had a whole generation of motherfuckers asking, the other side, like, where's the multiplayer? I think it's equal, right? Let them ask, where's the single player? I don't see the problem with that, you know? Anyway, does anybody else have any thoughts on this?
Now, is that a question based off that marathon?
No, I think it's based off of. Actually, I don't know what the fuck it's based off of. It's a good question. I don't know. Could be marathon.
That's the sentiment off of marathon because yeah. Marathon is pretty much online game player.
Yeah. So. Anyway, anybody else want to jump in on that? Any thoughts?
But the big difference on marathon is marathon was a single player that they essentially just attached a random name, a name that they owned onto a multiplayer game. That game has no real resemblance to the actual.
Yeah.
Just add to what Manny says. I think that's also a big part of the issue people have with Marathon is that it was a single player game and then suddenly it's now just multiplayer only. And again, the name is just tacked onto it. I'm sure that this has pretty much nothing to do with the original, apart from maybe it's set on a random planet.
A little reference or so. They said there's references. That's it. He said there's references to it, and you don't need to have played the original marathon. It's like, okay, yeah, you don't need to play the original marathon games because those fucking games haven't been put out on anything except for on.
They're on the Mac, Apple. Right? The old
yeah, on Mac. They haven't been ported.
And see, stuff like that just really annoys me. Like, why use a name if it has nothing to do with it? At least with Path of Exile and Avowed, they had the decency to say, okay, it's the same universe, but different names, you know. But if you unsit in one, chances are you'll see the links in the other one. That makes sense. But this is straight up, okay, we could reuse the same name, and it's going to be something completely different, but the same name. So why bother? Just call it something new, call it something different, and have a field day. Regarding the question, I'm exactly with Tony there. I do remember that age of everything just having multiplayer for no reason. I mean, why does Tomb Raider need multiplayer?
For no fucking reason, man.
Why did Uncharted need
that? Uncharted didn't need that bullshit. Neither did Dead Space. Dead Space was ruined because of that shit, Brian.
Yeah.
Why does Assassin's Creed need it? Like, by the way, we're not making this up, people. These games had multiplayer. Mass Effect, yeah. Fucking Dragon Age. Why? Anyway, go on, Brian. You could tell I get worked up over this shit.
No, I'm right there with Tony. Like, there's lots of games that had unnecessary 100% patched on, bolted on multiplayer and frustrated us. Yeah, made no sense. My answer is the exact same as Tony. It's just that we've gone through that generation now, so people aren't really that fussed. Mm-hmm. And plus, it's just the idea of like multiplayer only games being like $60. It's like, I mean, was it Battlefield? Which one was the Battlefield that was like multiplayer only, and people got like real tizzy about it?
I know there was a Call of Duty Warzone that's multiplayer. People got pretty upset about it, but they still played it because
you're thinking of Black Ops 4.
Black Ops 4,
maybe 3. Yeah.
Is that the one that was multiplayer only?
Black Ops 4 was multiplayer.
Yeah.
But there was a Battlefield one as well, Brian. Let me look it up.
Was it the 20?
There was one that's multiplayer only, and it was just kind of like, what's the point? Like, the previous entry, the same price, multiplayer and single player.
Battlefield 2040? Is that it?
Yeah, that's
2040, yeah. 2042.
Okay. Yeah, it was just a case of how is it that you're charging the same price for less than you did previously? It makes no people getting a real tizzy about that.
Yeah. Chris, you have any thoughts on it?
I mean, yeah, we all lived through it. I think that was the, as Carlos would say, that was the toe dip into live service. The if there was like an Overton window for gaming, that's where it swung from single player narrative driven games to just total multiplayer to like live service. And then all of a sudden they started adopting things for mobile, loot boxes, fuck, all this shit. So it started getting worse, but it started there. And then everybody was screaming, like he said. It was like, why is this game has to have multiplayer? Right? So then the suits got the wrong idea from that all we wanted was multiplayer. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we could just wrap the any story narrative around just being online all the time. And then live services born from that. And it's like, oh, we can just monetize the live services. We'll give loot boxes and there'll be DLC and battle passes, all that shit. I think that was born from that. So it just, the problem has gotten worse. Now it's turning the other way, where we're getting like a lot of good single player engaging stuff and like less of that live services. But the live services haven't died yet. They are slowing down. Good. But yeah, I think that started it.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you bring up that point. I agree. And then the other thing I just thought about right now, remember during that time, developers would even like almost apologize if they didn't have a multiplayer mode, you know, or like explain themselves, you know, like, because again, these fucking journalists, first thing, why doesn't this thing have multiplayer? Then we have to give some elaborate answer and shit, pretty much apologizing. Like, I don't, Kishak, I hope you remember that era, bro, because that shit was real, you know? Like, if the game didn't have multiplayer, it would, if it didn't have multiplayer, there was hell to pay, you know? Fucking, man, I'm glad we're out of that shit, but you're right, Chris. Now we're arguably in a worse era with all this shit, you know? It's like, that thing spawned what we have now, you know, with this live service nonsense, you know? And you get both the worst of both worlds, live service and gacha games and shit, you know? Absolute trash, bro.
At that time, trying to their games.
Yeah, that's what it was. You know, they said that. Not us telling you this, by the way. They specifically said, we want people to keep their games. We don't want them to resell the GameStop, so we want to give them a reason to keep playing, so we're putting multiplayer in this shit. They said it.
Multiplayer. It's all the reason why things were installed into there. It's part of the reason why they were cutting out content and putting it out as DLC.
Man, Street Fighter versus Tekken, the biggest offender of that shit. All those fucking characters were on the disc, bro.
Marvel versus Capcom 3, another offender.
Another one, yep.
All the characters were all on the disc. They were just waiting for you to open them that you had to buy.
Crazy, man. We had to live through all that bullshit. You know, like this, you can tell it triggered me. It was just fuck. All right. And the last question of the night, Mr. Eurocar, another one of our favorite fans, bro. With Switch 2 releasing in a few months, well, actually a few weeks to be correct, and essentially resetting the handheld gaming market, will Nintendo have any real competition in that space for the foreseeable future? I don't agree with the premise of this question. I don't think the Switch is going to reset anything because it's not doing anything innovative. It's just another Switch, you know? So I don't think there's going to be any reset at all. The Switch is just going to join the competition. There's a lot of competitors, especially at that price point. Now it's putting itself up against, you know, an ROG Ally or a Steam Deck, you know, but it's not resetting shit. It's entering a market that's already been thriving without it, you know? But Carlos, for no reason whatsoever, what are your thoughts?
I think it is resetting the whole market.
I heard that you and Eurocar know each other pretty well. So if you could explain to me maybe what he means by resetting, because that's the part I don't get. I'm like, resetting what? It's not them resetting anything. Like, the market's already there and the Switch isn't doing anything innovative, so I need some explanation there.
Well, it's going to be the new standard of what people are going to be expecting from their handhelds.
How so?
From a mainstream perspective.
How so?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's, you know, when people are going to get the Switch, that's what they're going to expect. Like, the 4K 120 frames per second. They're going to expect games that are exclusive to that console. They're going to expect whatever the hell they're going to do with the Joy-Cons. Like that, I feel like that, from a mainstream perspective, is what people expect. The competition is doing sort of their own thing. And I feel like they're not really going to compete. Even though they're essentially the same type of medium, it's just, I don't know. I don't see them in competition with each other, because they're, even though they're both handhelds, I feel like, and even though Nintendo is making trying to make strides to the third party market, I just don't see how anyone can put a dent into whatever market Nintendo created.
Yeah, I really don't think it's gonna do anything. Like, I think Nintendo's gonna do its own thing, and then the other consoles are gonna do their own thing. But as I also have said, since Nintendo set that price point, there could be some like, oh, wait, do I want a Nintendo or do I want a ROG Ally? But like you said, ROG Ally doesn't have OLED, you know? So that's something. But then again, just Switch 2 doesn't have OLED either.
Yeah.
But 120 hertz, you know, others do that as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, the thing with the Switch 2 is, I don't know how, because I was thinking about the Steam Deck, and you know, we've talked about how Steam Deck isn't going to be releasing anything anytime soon. I feel like I don't know if that is if that's a good thing or a bad thing for whatever competition Nintendo could have, because I feel like Steam and Valve probably, because I don't think Microsoft is going to be any competition when they release their handheld. I feel like Valve and Sony are the only ones that have the sort of any means to compete with Nintendo in this market space.
But do they have to? Do they have to compete? But it's, I don't think they're trying to compete with Nintendo, and I don't think Nintendo's trying to compete with them.
Well, and that's why I said they're the market. Nintendo owns the market. Whatever this handheld thing is, Nintendo owns the market with a Switch. And the Switch 2, when Eurocard 9 said it's resetting the market, it's the new standard that people are going to think of when they are trying to get a handheld.
I disagree that I don't think Nintendo rules the market. I think it has its own. Yes, it is a handheld, but it's the Nintendo market. And then there's the Windows 11 Steam market. I think they're two separate things.
Well, in that case, then the ROG Ally and the Steam Deck don't compete.
They do, but they both have PC games, so they are catering to the same people. Nintendo Switch Switch games. They do. They have the third party stuff, but they have Nintendo games, which is something neither of the other ones have. You're really buying that Switch for Nintendo games. So just like the Switch didn't really compete with the current handhelds, I don't think the Switch 2 is going to either. But again, there is that little caveat of there you can have more graphically intensive games on the Switch. So, but I don't know. I don't really see it taking a bite out of them, you know?
Yeah. And I just feel like this, whatever the ROG Ally Steam Deck, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a market share of whatever the Nintendo Switch garnered. Whether it's in the same like wavelength or not, it doesn't really matter. They want to garner as much market share as they can, and if it eats off of Nintendo, then they'll do it. But I'm just trying to figure out a way for them to do it when ROG and Lenovo are releasing handhelds kind of almost every other year or whatever it seems like they're gonna do. Steam Deck, I'm not too sure they're going to release every 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I think they're going to be every 5+ years, honestly, because I don't think they have the capabilities to release something every other year.
Well, remember, they already explained they're waiting for a big innovation to come along. You know, they don't feel that the current chips that are available give them that TDP they want, between 8 and 15 watts. So they're waiting. That's what they've officially said, So
I think that's bullshit. Honestly, if I were to put Chris, can you pass me the tinfoil hat? I just feel like and this to me it makes logical sense. I just feel like they don't want to be in the PC sort of market where they have to iterate every other year. I don't think they're capable of that, and I don't think they want to do that. Like they're not like ROG Ally or ROG Asus ROG that seems like they're going to do every other year iterations, because that it just takes a lot to have a handheld release every other year and support it and then get on to the next one. So I just feel like they're not really into that market as the other ones are. So it's going to be more difficult for them to compete every 5 years, especially since the 2022 was the Steam Deck one. So I feel like 2027 and beyond is when the next one will come out. And by then, the Steam Deck didn't really get that big of a chunk of folks where it's like I would even consider like any type of competition. Like it's just doing its own thing.
Yeah, well, that's my premise. I don't think it's in competition with the Switch at all. I think it is doing its own thing.
It's not because they don't want to, though. That's my thing.
Yeah, like, but I don't I'm think. Pretty they, sure. But again, I don't think they are trying to. I kind of disagree with that premise. I think they're trying to cater to PC gamers, not Nintendo gamers. Those are two different people,
But it's part of the like it's like they're the Steam Deck is more of a competition to the Switch than the Xbox and PlayStation are. And
yeah, because the handhelds, but I don't think they're like we need to take on the Switch. I don't think they're doing that. They're just hey, let's put PC games on the go. I think that's their actual mission statement. Not let's try to take a chunk out of Nintendo's profits or whatever. I don't think that's happening.
I think it is because, I mean, you why would you even release a handheld in the first place? Because they saw there was a market with that.
So you can have your PC games on the go? Like, I think that's a good enough motivation.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they're like, they saw the Switch success and they're like, oh, let's do what they're doing. Let's just do it with PC games. Let's do it with the Steam libraries. And that's direct competition because you're saying we're going to release a handheld too, but this is better because it's got the Steam platform. It's got all your games. You don't have to get the first party games that are only playable on Nintendo.
Assuming that's what they said. We don't know that.
Well, we can assume that the only reason why a Steam Deck exists is because a Switch came out.
I don't agree with that.
I would feel like it's kind of naive if you said the Steam Deck would have came out if the Switch didn't come.
No, because there were already other handhelds, shitty handhelds that were out, you know, and even good ones before the Switch came out. You know, like the Vita and PlayStation and all that. Like, handhelds already existed. You know, yeah, PSP wasn't a failure. You know,
the Nvidia Shield.
Yeah, PSP came out when I was a kid.
Yeah, but the point is, the handheld still existed. I don't think the Steam. I honestly don't believe Valve was like, "Oh shit, the Switch is doing well. Let's do that." I legit. This is going to be one of those situations, Carlos, where you just agree to disagree. I don't think that's what motivated them at all. Anybody else?
I do agree with some of what Carlos, but I'll say this: if they are competing with the Switch, the one place Nintendo is leading that battle is value, right? I'm talking about like the price, you know, to the barrier to entry for the Switch is a little higher even for the Legion Go with what you have to get to like play even the launch game. Like if you want to play Mario Kart and Mario Kart's communal, so you have friends and it's like, oh, buy a wheel for $80 and buy this, you know. At that point, it adds up. You're spending more than you go. And then the games inherently with the Nintendo techs are way more than on Steam, right? And you have the similar library. So I think for value, that's where they're going to have a problem. If they are competing with one another, it's value that Nintendo's losing right now. I mean, we saw the directs. We saw the sentiment. The drop the price was just the calling card of everybody commenting at Nintendo, and they're not going to do it unless they are hurting. And I think that the playing field is different for them. I don't think they're setting a standard right now more than Tony's correct that they're playing it is just the Switch with a boost, right?
Yep. Switch.
That's all it is. So they're not changing anything. They haven't innovated with this one. It doesn't even have OLED. It has Joy-Cons. It's the same shit the Switch has. They're just adjusted, you know, magnetic instead of what, you know, all these things. There's quality of life and they improved the guts of it, but it's still the so they're going to have a problem with just if they're going to offer third party titles, especially indie titles, whatever, at $20, $30, $40 above what you can get them on Steam. People are going to notice that, and people have the internet. They're not just going to Nintendo.com or whatever and looking at the game guide. They're looking around, right? You could go, oh, I could get this same title on Steam for like $5 this week because there's a sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And where would you play it? You either play on your PC, play on your Steam Deck, or your Legion Go, your ROG Ally.
I agree, and that's why I said that they're directly competing with each other.
I'm agreeing with you on that. I'm just saying like the Switch, but the Switch isn't setting a standard. I think that.
Yeah, I really disagree with that part. You know, the whole reset. I definitely don't buy that.
Let me explain. Most people that play handheld gaming are Switch people, and when the Switch 2 comes out, that's what most people in the mainstream are gonna know as, oh, that's what handheld gaming is. But when they see the competitors like the ROG Ally and the Legion Go and the Steam Deck 2 or whatever that releases, then that's what changes their minds, where it's like, oh, my standard was the Switch 2, like, but there's an ROG Ally X that does this, that has OLED or whatever, and so that's the new standard. But like what I'm saying is, there's a base standard for what people expect from a handheld, and when the Switch 2 comes out, that's what most people are gonna think because it's a zeitgeist console.
Okay.
Because these,
I'm gonna try to meet you because I think we were kind of coming at it from different places. You're talking about normies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I'm thinking about gamers. Okay, but then my question is, do normies even know the fucking ROG Ally exists?
because yeah, they, I don't think they do. Man, no, think about this, Carlos. Handhelds have sold 6 million units. Four million of those being the Steam Deck. I don't think normies know these fucking things exist. I think to them, a handheld is a Switch, and that's it. You know.
But that, that's where the competition comes. These companies want to be known. They want people that play Switches to know what an ROG Ally is, because they'll see, like what Chris mentioned, the value of those consoles, like of a Steam Deck. Oh, you know, you can buy all of these games that Switch is barely getting, that Nintendo's barely getting, and I get less than half the price for them, and they play better. Like, that's what their selling point is. Like, they're trying to infiltrate into that market and get people to, you know, be more like gamers that we know.
But have you seen any marketing where like Steam Deck is like, or Valve, excuse me, is like directly going, hey, forget Nintendo, check this out. Like, have you seen anything like that?
Yeah, like the Sega days.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. So it's like games. Yeah, and this is why I don't buy the whole premise. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't buy it. The whole like, oh, we're competing with Nintendo. Maybe they are. I don't think so, but I haven't seen anything like that. You know, Steam Deck does what Nintendo don't. I haven't seen anything like that, you know, because they know it's a different market. They know they're trying to sell a Steam Deck to guys like me. They're, you know, not to Joe Schmo, you know.
Well, that's where I disagree. It's like Valve doesn't release something like this and say we just want to release it to the lowest common denominator. We want this thing to sell to most people as we can.
Then why are they only selling it on their online? Like, you could make that case. What you said, you could make that case with ROG Ally and Lenovo that sell it in Best Buy. You could only buy the Steam Deck online, and that's the best selling one out of all of them. That thing sells more than the other competitors combined, and that's not in, you know, Joe Schmo stores, you know.
But that's a Valve thing. They've always been like this.
Yeah, but my point is, like, if they wanted to go mainstream, why not put it in stores? And they don't even need to, because they're fucking selling out their competition, you know.
Well, the whole thing with the stores, I'm not sure. But they definitely want to sell this to as many people as possible. Steam is not a small platform.
No,
Steam is the biggest. It is the biggest platform on PC.
Yeah, they're trying to sell the PC gamers. You know,
that's where their market is, and the marketing is on itself. You go on Steam, the Steam Deck is right front and center.
Yep,
they have a badge for it, like right there. I agree with that, and they don't need to put it right in big box stores. Like,
they're already doing well without doing that. They're killing their competition that are in big box stores, you know.
But I'm saying, what with what Carlos is saying, like, Nintendo is gonna have to actually work harder to market against that, because people already are aware of the value of Steam Deck and the RG and the Go. They're already aware of the value that Steam provides, right? And that's the core of it. Nintendo's not really providing that value, especially when you have to subscribe just to play online and just to buy those games, right? That's nuts that they're charging. There's a gate to even like pre-order. There's a gate to play online. There's a gate to own some of the games. There's a gate to upgrade them, right? It's nuts. So that, I think, is going to affect them. They're going to have to rethink some of that stuff, I believe. All right, and it's going to hurt, because, like, not normies, but if, like, you know, right now, like, Olivia only saw one game that she was like, oh, I want to play Donkey Kong. It's like, that's nice. I could fire up Shredder's Revenge on the Steam Deck and hand it to her, and she's happy. Right? I don't need to be out, like, hundreds of dollars paying Nintendo to play that. I'll just wait until either they come to their senses, or they actually have a sale, or somebody sells it used. I don't need to adopt or early.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? All right. Cool. All right, good convo. All right. We're done, man. That's all the questions. Another one in the books, people. Do we have anything to plug? Manny, I'll start with you. Got anything?
Yes. Next week on Wednesday, The Power, my car, myself, whole team of artists, colorists, working to get this book in the field. So yeah, that'll be out this. So check your little comic online comic. That's what I got. Oh yes. And Ninja Turtles. It would be the Michelangelo cover. That good stuff.
Nice. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, we have a couple of more reviews and previews that will be coming up, gaming related. Stay tuned for that. Also, it's not really that time yet, but I can go ahead and plug this. myself, Mr. Adam Vale, and Mr. Carlos Romero. Our show, I Am Negan, will be returning next weekend. So stay tuned for that. If you do want to hear our, that's right. If you hear our thoughts on Dead City, which is Carlos's favorite TV show of 2025. So there you go.
Well, we'll see about that.
We'll see about that.
Oh, man.
And one other quick thing. Myself, Dana, and Gary, we will be recording our next Power episode. That will be out on Friday. And I will also give a shout-out to Mr. Adam Vale with the TV Terminal show. He just recorded the latest episode of The Last of Us 3 with his brother. That is on the website right now. So check that out.
We got the emails.
Yes, we got the emails. Check that out. That's currently on the website right now, as well as their YouTube channel. And they also review Mobland. That's also on the website and on their YouTube channel. But yeah, stay tuned. A lot of gaming content coming.
Yeah, busy, busy, you know. All right, guys, we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez, Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
If you want to see a good movie, go see Sinners. To hell with Until Dawn.
And, of course, Brian Manjoma.
Of course, 100 people can defeat one gorilla.
What? Oh, man, what am I missing on Twitter right now? All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday later.
Laters.